Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, saints, dear beloved. As always, it is such an honor, it is a privilege and pleasure to be in fellowship this Sabbath that corresponds with the 24th of June, 2017. For it is true that our God is an awesome God. It is true that our God is a good God. And in all his righteousness and holiness and faithfulness, that our God can be trusted. I mean, it is such an honor and a privilege to be bowed before him, to serve him, and to be in fellowship amongst the saints. And I say to the brothers and sisters that are spread abroad, in the name of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ, peace be unto you and grace from God the Father and the Son. The gospel is really simple in the respect that Yeshua is the Son of Yah, the God Yah, that he died for our sins. He shed his blood. However, he was resurrected, and he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. The life that he lived qualified him to die the death, that he died for us, that he died for humanity. And in return, we are now made righteous to be able to walk in the steps of Yeshua the Messiah that qualified him. Now we are qualified if we live the truth. This is why I always say the truth is a way of life. The truth is a way of life. A lot of people take the truth as a information source. But you miss it when you see the truth as information. Knowledge does puff up. But the knowledge of the truth and its information will not save you if it doesn't first sanctify you. Only way the truth is going to be of any benefit to the hearer of its word is if it sanctifies him first, meaning to set you apart for God's holy purpose. It changes our life. It changes our way of thinking. It changes our behavior. It changes our conduct. It changes our appetite. When we no longer love the things of the world, the people and the places and the things that are familiar to the world that are not associated with the righteous order of Yeshua the Messiah. This is when the truth is most effective in our lives, when we lose the desires of the world, when we lose the desires of the flesh. And it has us to cry out to Yah, to God, to be saved. Lord, save me, examine me. See if there's any wickedness in me. And whatever it is, Lord, examine me. And take it out of me, uproot it out of me, evict it out of me, Father, that I may be pleasant to you, that I may be pleasing to you, that I may be presentable to you, that I may be in the likeness of your only begotten and beloved Son, who is indeed wonderful, Yeshua the Messiah. So this is where a lot of people miss it in this information age. They want the knowledge, but they don't want the responsibility of the knowledge. To whom much is given, much is required. When we know better, we have to do better. It is a work in progress, but we got to strive. We reach perfection instantly, though the righteousness through faith, when we accept the gospel that Yeshua died for our sins, that righteousness is imputed to us instantly by faith, but then the faith has to be carried out in the way of life. And so Yah gave us mercy and grace to help us along the way. But we have to progress, meaning we have to strive moving forward unto perfection. And where we miss it at in our striving, in our walk, Yeshua will complete it, but we cannot get out of the way and expect to be seen and to be helped of Yah when we purposely, when we willfully get out of the way of the Lord, when we willfully get out of the way of his word, and we go into the ways of the Gentiles, we go into the ways of the Samaritans, which were not the ways of Yah. Yah did not have many ways. He had only one way. That was through his law. And his law was manifested in Yeshua the Messiah. And so then we walk according to Yeshua the Messiah and we fulfill the law. So it behooves us to consider and pay attention, because in this lesson, I want to speak about lawlessness abounds, the leaders and the people. You know, the people truly get the leaders they deserve. Priests like people, like leaders like people. You get what you deserve. And this is what we experience in this time, in this generation right now. Since the 21st century, you know, these leaders that we had, the three leaders that we've had for this 21st century, were perfect representatives of a segment of people. America is complicated, a very diverse nation. So whatever group of people that is in a nation, the leaders will serve and be the express image of that group of people. So you had George Bush with the recklessness, you know, and just war mongering and these different things, but primarily because all of them been bent on war, love violence, but recklessness. Then you had Obama, homosexuality, you know, and now you have Trump, racism. And all of them are liars. And all of them are murderers. All of them have blood on their hands. And then you look at the society, you look at the culture, just filled with sexual immorality, homosexuality, sodomy. You look at the culture, it is filled with racism, hatred. You look at the culture, it is filled with recklessness. And then it is filled with violence and bloodshed. You know, it's just ingrained into the fabric of this nation, and it cannot escape. This nation cannot escape its nature. The leadership of this nation cannot escape the nature of the beast that is in this nation. It was built on lies. It was built on sexual immorality. It was built on hatred. It was built on racism. It prospered in these things, and it continues to prosper. Matter of fact, it has become a business. Sin is big business. Sin is big business. This nation was founded on sin. This nation prospered on sin. It knows no other way. And therefore, it is in servitude to sin. And being the servants of sin and servitude to sin, a sanctuary for sinners, a haven for everything ungodly, hence, when you have leadership, you have the servants of Satan. And this is where lawlessness abounds. You know, Yeshua may mention these days we see so much disregard for the law. Reckless behavior from individuals that are sworn to uphold the rule of law that is supposed to govern and protect a decent and civilized people, where the law keeps things in order. Lawlessness wreaks havoc and chaos. And this is what we're seeing. If it was a law-abiding a nation, if we were law-abiding citizens, as far as leadership and the people, there will be more order, there will be more decency in the land. But it is striking evidence that this nation is a lawless nation, that the people are lawless. You look at the news with the trigger-happy police shootings, just killing. They have a presence of mind, and then you look at the political circus, the bitter feud between the Democrats and the Republicans that are playing out behavior or playing out their behavior before the American people and the world. And we must understand this division. It is intended, an intended design to keep the people divided in order that a united front from the people don't destroy a corrupt government ran by a most corrupt group of men and women. It is the design of Satan to keep this division, the Democrats on one side and Republicans on the other side, because if the people were to really come together and see what is going on with this government, then the people have been given certain inalienable rights, as told them, to bear arms, to protest, and these different things, that these politicians wouldn't stand a chance. This government wouldn't be able to stand a chance. The people would destroy this whole establishment if they knew the corruptness and the lack of regard and concern for the people that the representatives of the people have, and the lawlessness. And so they have to address their lawlessness. You know, these politicians are scared. They are running scared. And it is an unhealthy fear. It is psychotic. It is satanic, and it is a paranoia. And it is just like these police that shoot first and ask questions later out of the same script line that they feared for their lives. This is satanic. This is psychotic. This is a paranoia that the leadership, that those that are entrusted to take a vow to uphold the law and to respect and to protect the people, to keep a decency in order. It is when we look at society in America alone, and she even export her chaos and her havoc and her violence and her hatred and her sexual immorality and exploits it. So now the whole earth is filled with her corruption. And when we look at this, it is a clear evidence that lawlessness abounds. So Yeshua, going to it, Yeshua made mention, he forewarned us. And we can never touch on this scripture enough. In Matthew 24:12, when he says, "And because iniquity shall abound," that means that iniquity means lawlessness. Says the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold because iniquity abounds. Lawlessness abounds. So well does the scripture forewarn us about lawlessness. Law, the saints, listen, law and love are synonymous. They are related. They are interdependent. They are married. Law and love, they go together. Therefore, when there's no law, there's no love. So because iniquity or lawlessness abounds, the love of many grows cold. It waxes cold. See, love gives us restraint. It gives us self-control. It gives us consideration. It gives us respect. It gives us patience. It gives us kindness. This is what love does. You know, love, it warms the heart and the soul. And when we love, it fulfills the law. Since this is Sabbath scripture studies, I have to bring you scriptures on how love fulfills the law, and it encompasses all of this, you know. In Romans chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. And I may have it wrong. I mean, not Romans chapter 8. I even have it written wrong, but actually Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13. In verses 8. Actually, I'm going to read this whole passage. In Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. That's what I want to read, verses 8 through 14. So when Yeshua makes mention out of Matthew, and he forewarns us that lawlessness would abound and that love would wax cold, is only right for us to understand the power of love, than the depths of love, so that we can see why what's happening in the world today is happening, and how our Creator, the Almighty Most High God, understands His creature. For He is the maker of the creature. You know, what we are dealing with in this society, in America, what we are dealing with in the world, from America being the export of all the evil that is within her, and now it has just come out, and technology makes it more convenient, makes it faster to do what America wants to be done, and persuading the other nations of people, going about destroying cultures, destroying people and nations in order that they can, this European Western Christian perverted ideal can go into the nations and therefore esteem white privilege, white supremacy, white power, esteem the European Caucasian people, that they can preserve themselves, because once again they are paranoid. They are scared of, for one, not being in a position of high esteem that they have enjoyed all these years, these hundreds of years. They don't want to lose that position. It has spoiled them, and in spoiling them, it has corrupted them, and it has perverted them, and it has made them psychotic, and it has made them paranoid. And they fear becoming non-existent. They understand their nature, that in and of themselves, they cannot sustain themselves in and of themselves. In their natural makeup and fiber of their being, they understand this, especially when they're in the midst of three-quarters of the world of people of color. It's sad. Because in God's design, He have made a way for them to be preserved. And they don't have to go about their own way of preserving themselves. They come into the Yeshua, the Messiah. They come into the Lord and be amongst the righteousness as has been preached to them by the Apostle Paul and even by the Apostle Peter, when the Gentiles were permitted. And the Gentiles were the Western nation, the Caucasians, or Paul preached unto the Gentiles. He went into the West. He went into Europe. That's what he did. The Roman Empire, Philippi, Ephesus, Rome, Galatia, Thessalonica, all these nations were European nations. Paul went into the nations. Yah made provision, made a way for them to receive of the gospel. He had them at heart. He had them in mind. Even from the Old Testament, it was prophesied that the light would come into the Gentiles. Yeshua is that light. The gospel would come into the Gentiles. Yah seemed fit for them. They didn't have to go about their own way under the design and influence of Satan to preserve themselves, to obtain a salvation in and of themselves, which is very temporary, which is corrupt, which is a salvation that has nothing to do with sanctification. They want to obtain salvation. They want to take the promises of Yah with evil hands, with evil deeds. They want to do it under the spirit of Satan and think that they have longevity and think that they have a peace of mind and justification because they don't want to submit to the Most High God. They prefer to be exalted as God. They prefer to exalt themselves. Satan has deceived them, and they have come under this deception in the name of Jesus, the name that is translated in the Bible to represent the Son of God. They've done their evil. They have taken the gospel, and they have perverted it. It's such that now as a Christian, any and everything go. As Christians, this government in gross violation of God's law and even its own laws. Just a lawless people. As Christians, look at the sexual immorality in the Christian nation. Islamic Muslim nation have a decency and have a respect, have a certain order amongst their own nation of people. And they don't even have the gospel truth. But they have a sensibility and an order and a respect amongst their men and their women, more so than the Christian European Caucasian man in his countries. I'm saying for what we can see with the naked eye, for what we see in America, you don't see, and I'm not saying America as a Christian nation because she prides herself on her Christianity. But in other nations of other religions, you don't see the debauchery. You don't see the degradation. You don't see the dishonor and disrespect of women. Men have always had an issue within their nature from Adam. But it was never permitted for women to have the ways, the doggish ways that a man has. But in this nation, it is permissible. It is acceptable. It is esteemed. It is encouraged. It is inspired for women to be as wretched and dogged as men. And when the culture get to a degradation that low, then there's no hope, because then that's the foundation of your society. That is the foundation of your nation, of your culture, your women, because your women produce the men and women that keep the nation alive and well. Your women produce your presidents, produce your leaders, your teachers, your fathers and mothers, your sons and daughters. And when there's such a disregard for women as in America, and then a hypocrisy to point the finger at nations that supposedly don't afford their women certain rights and privileges that the European nation affords their women, but the European nation prostitute their women, pimp their women, exploit their women in lewdness and nakedness and sexual immorality. You got women in America, they have a right to do pornography. And then not only do it, they have no discretion about it, but put it out in the open for the world to see it. And they have no shame about it. Now, they point the finger at the Muslim nations because they don't allow their women to be in such degradation and debauchery. It's not to say that they're perfect, because there's a lot that goes on in the Muslim household and the Muslim nation, but they're discreet about it. There's a certain level of respect that I can have when you're discreet, and I have to believe that God is not as offended when you thumb your nose at him and when you do it openly and do it in his name, as America does, and the hypocrisy of America. This is why we got to get into it, because lawlessness abounds. This is lawlessness. They had no regard for God's law, and certainly they had no regard for their own law. And so a lawless nation of people always trying to come up with the law, and they use it as a means to control and to justify themselves. They always make a loophole in the law so that they can get out of the law and still hold others that is a lower class, a lower than them, subjection to the law. But lawlessness abounds. And so, in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, it says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law." This is why I said love and law are synonymous. They go together. They're married. They're interdependent. "For this, you shall not commit adultery." See, if you love, you won't sleep with another man's wife. You won't do that. If you love, a wife will not cheat on her husband. If you love, you will not even desire to be separated from your husband. And if a husband loves, he will not desire to be separated from his wife or to put his wife away. He will not desire to be unfaithful to his wife. If he loves, the word of Yah is no respect of person. Yah is not biased, for he is no respect of person. Right is right, wrong is wrong. Righteousness is righteousness, unrighteousness is unrighteousness. Yah is not such a God that he has to bow down to the whims of men that he created. Yah is not bound down to his creation, his creature. No, his creature going to bow down before him. "Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Yeshua is Lord." They're going to do it to God, and they're going to do it to Creator, and they're going to do it to Yeshua, who also is the Creator, because he is the express image of Yah. When Yah said, "Let us make man in our image," he was speaking that word to Yeshua, and that word Yeshua began to work to bring into fruition what Yah had purposed. So when man was made in the image of Yah, when we seen, or when Yeshua was revealed and manifested at the time appointed, and men seen him walk in the earth, Adam was that image from the first creation of humanity. This is why Yeshua is the second man and the last Adam. So we have it here, continuing. This is not, you won't commit adultery. You won't kill. You won't steal. You will not bear false witness. You will not covet, meaning you won't be greedy, loving money and materialism. Not when you have love. "And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." We love one another as we love ourselves. But the thing is, in this generation, when you see the level of degradation, when you see the level of disrespect, when you see the level of dishonor, then it is evident that men don't even love themselves. Therefore, they can't even love their neighbor. They cannot even love one another because they don't love themselves. They sin against their own soul. They don't even have a regard and care for their souls. These politicians, these policemen, you know, the neighbors, the people in the community, even family members. We amongst men and women that have produced children that don't even love themselves, because I'm under firm belief, if you don't love and regard your soul to the fear of God and what he can do to your soul, and you know you're scared, because let a natural disaster, let a natural disaster happen upon, let an earthquake, let a tornado, let a hurricane, let those things come and see how people run and then terrify. Let fire come and ravage through a building or through a place. Let police draw their gun. Let a gangster or a thug on the street draw his gun. We are fearful, but we've been deceived in our mind to think that we don't have to be fearful of God, yet we fear the creation. We fear to create the creature. But we don't think that we have to fear God, and God is more awesome than anything that we can imagine. And you can take the natural disasters, put them all together. You can take the wild beasts, put them all together. You can take even the wickedness in the heart of men and put them all together, and they don't amount to the fear that Yah can execute against us. But then we foolish in thinking we don't have to fear Yah. You fear men. You fear beasts. You fear Yah's creation, but you don't have to fear Yah, because we take his love, mercy, and grace for granted. But there is an expiration day that the devil don't let us know, because it's an expiration day for him and his demons. Those angels that follow him, they have an expiration day. Satan knows this. And he knows there's no love, there's no mercy, there's no way, there's no opportunity. The gospel cannot save him, cannot help him. He's not even permitted to have access to the love, mercy, and grace of Yah that we have. And it kills him, it destroys him, it wounds him every time when we are allowed to repent. Time after time. Because he can't repent, and is what makes him jealous of humanity. And it's what makes him get into deceiving men in order that they can receive the same judgment, a condemnation and damnation in the lake of fire that he's going to receive. It's not because he loves men and he wants men to follow him out of love, but he's jealous of men. And men are foolish enough to believe what Satan tells them to the detriment of their own souls. So therefore, lawlessness abound, because folks don't love themselves. They have no regard for the soul. They don't care about their own soul. That homosexual, he don't care about his soul while he in the pleasures of his sexual perversion, enjoying himself. That man that's committing adultery, that's going about sexual immorality, that woman that's committing adultery, that's going about her way, empowered by the goddess of heaven, which is America, this government that gives women a right, a privilege, and a power that God did not ordain, such that she is equal to men. Listen to this, saints. When God told man, when God decreed that man be made in his image and likeness, and Adam was created, and then Eve was told by Satan that she should be of the gods, this is where this feminine spirit birth. This is where the woman got the concept of being independent and being in competition with men. It was dormant for a minute until, or for a while or a season, until the Gentiles came into power. When I say Gentiles, I'm speaking specifically about the Caucasian European people. It was dormant until the time of the gospel came, and then in the name of Yeshua, they will recreate and redistribute God's order, so that now they can be justified. And coming from up under what God has established for the woman, that was to be in eternity, that she would be subjected to the man, and that her desire, and for a married woman, her desire would be for her husband. But Satan seemed fit to wait until the appropriate time to revisit what was established in the garden. And so that now we have women that want to be equal to men. Satan told her during the fall of man, he says, for God know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. What does Satan mean like that? What gods existed during that time? But he understood that man was made in the image and likeness of God, so therefore man would be as gods with the small g, and the children of men, the seed of men, would be as gods. So then he was letting Eve know, you should be as a man. You should be equal to the man when you have this knowledge. So then it's not coincidental that women excelling in college, excelling in the workforce, and they continue to push the envelope to be independent, to be their own boss, and shun the responsibility that was natural in becoming for a woman. And in some regards, you cannot blame them, but then I'm not God. God is going to stay to his law and his natural order. And because women have come to this place empowered by the God of heaven that Jeremiah spoke about, the goddess of heaven, America represent that goddess. America is the fulfillment of this goddess that Jeremiah spoke about. That had been a problem for Israel back then, and this goddess has come to her full glory now in America. And so you had the daughters of Jezebel that are running rapid, and it's part of the lawlessness, and the lawlessness brings things that are unnatural, disorder. See, this goddess in all of this, because now you don't have the men to stand strong and to be that, to be the gatekeeper, to be that upholds the order of Yah, because they've either been bought out, they've been sold out, they've been broken down, and particularly black men. The love of the flesh, or the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those have been the three that have always brought men down, great men. And when they come down, you destroy the strong man, you take out the strong man, then you can devour the house. And this is even in the house of Yah. So Satan runs rampant even in the churches. This transgender stuff, this gender reassignment that we're seeing happening in the world, where men becoming effeminate and becoming feminine and changing their natural sex to be a woman, and then the woman changing her sex to be a man and becoming masculine. All of this stuff is associated with the lawlessness. And when the women rise up in power, because the men have been struck down in power by the design of Satan, then you don't have no gatekeeper. You don't have no protector. You don't have no shield. And so Satan can bombard, and this is where all of this chaos, all this havoc, all this confusion, all this disorder, you know, and then all the murder and all the violence and all the sexual perversion, because there's not a man to stand. And the thing about it, it's in the world, but then even more so, it is plaguing the church now. And this is why you get women who say that they sit in the position of men. They take on the titles that was reserved for men. So they are apostles and they are pastors when they ought not to be over men. And they should not be having those titles in those positions that pertain to a man that God ordained. There is not a female, a woman pastor, or woman apostle in the Bible. But the Queen of Heaven and her fullness is America, empowered the women to be such and not have a conscience about it. A conscience is to think that they're doing anything wrong. A woman with an independent mind. Now, I think there's nothing wrong that she don't want to have children. that she don't want to be a wife. And it's unique to Gentile European culture. However, technology spreading in this beast is spreading this poison that is beginning to affect all cultures now, because people, the god of people now is prosperity and money. They want to make money now, and they see children, and they see the constraints that Yah put in place to preserve the soul, not to hurt or punish you, but to preserve your soul. They see those as a burden, the restraints of being a woman, and doing that that pertains to woman. They see that as a burden, as a setback, because they want to prosper. They want to be successful. They want to feel like somebody according to the standards of men, the acceptance and the appreciation of men. And when I say men, I'm not speaking in regards to only gender, but amongst the people, thing is very deep. But this is the way it is. And so you have the leaders, and you look at what the leaders are doing, breaking all kinds of laws and norms in this generation, in this 21st century that was introduced through George Bush. He came into this century with the sledgehammer. He destroyed the political system in America, and then he exported his destruction in Iraq and other places, designing and creating a means to justify his evil and his terror. So continuing, Romans 13:10, love works no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law, or the fulfilling of the law. Now listen to this, in that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of the sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Man, we're so deep in darkness now. I mean, when I say darkness, evil, the night is far spent. We are deep into evil now. Look at the evil that is going on. This is the fulfillment of this scripture. We are deep into this nighttime now. Look at the wickedness. Top on down, the basis of men and power and authority had no integrity, had no honor, had no God conscious. And then it is reflected in these gatekeepers open a door for all kind of evil spirits to oppress the people. All kind of evil spirits to perform witchcraft on the people, such that the people are out of their minds now. Doing any and everything, and no shame about it. Posted it on Instagram, on Facebook, on every outlet of social media, boasting and bragging in it. No shame. No regard, no care if the parents see it. Everything, suicide, sexual perversion, sexual immorality, obscenity and vulgarity and lewdness, lies and violence. People under spell because there's no leadership. And a leadership that is in place of the ordained order of Yah is not sufficient. They don't have the power because Yah did not ordain for those that are leading to be leading. And you certainly can't do a people, even if you're a man and not a woman in leadership. But even as a man, if you're not a godly man, you don't have the power. But nature does provide for a certain sense of restrain against evil. You can be an ungodly man, but if you're just a man figure in the home opposed to a single woman in the home, if a robber come to that home, is looking for a home to choose, he's going to choose that single woman over just the mere presence of a man because of what God put in a man and on a man in and of himself. even in the animal kingdom, it teaches us this. You have the hyenas harassing the females, but let a male be there. They're going to go with the least resistance. And the man offers a certain resistance that is of nature. So the night is at hand. And it says, so therefore, in understanding this, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us come out of this culture. When we see, this is why I said the information, the knowledge of truth, if it don't sanctify you, then it can't save you. If it don't set you apart, we have to look and see, okay, what is it that the world is doing? What is it that's common with the Gentiles? And then we have to do a self-evaluation and do a checklist. And if we have anything that's familiar with the Gentiles and with what's common in the world, then we have to be humble enough to separate that from our walk, from our behavior, from our conduct, our way of life, because we cannot make it into the kingdom with the garments of the Gentiles. Garment is just not mere clothing, but their ways, their customs, their whatever the Gentiles are doing. We have to not be doing it, and we have to make sure that it's not named on us. This is where reconciliation come in. This is where repentance come in. But because we're in the belly of the beast. And it's sad that while many think that they're in the body of the Messiah, while they think that they're in the body of Christ, they don't understand you in the belly of the beast. And this culture is so ingrained that it is a constant work in self-evaluation. But if y'all see that sincerity, and he see that humility, and he see that spirit of repentance, then he would grant us the mercy and the grace to be sufficient, that y'all will understand that we are the spirit of the truth. And what we miss in our perfection, Yeshua will make up for it with us. Y'all will elect us. He will reserve us to be amongst the elect. He would take us even out of the many, because many are called, but few are chosen. But in the many, in the multitude, he would choose us. But we have to have a willing spirit, a humble spirit. We have to have a repentant spirit. We have to have a spirit of reconciliation. It has to go upward unto Yah, and it has to go horizontally amongst men. So it said, let us walk honestly as in the day, and not in rioting. So we got to walk properly. We can't be in revelry, you know, just fun and drunkenness. And it says rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. We can't be in that. Not in Yah. Lewdness, you know, wantonness is lewdness, and just the way that this world is in this day and time, when we refer to wantonness, we can't be in wantonness, you know, meaning that we show no thought or care for the rights, the feelings, or the safety of others. Not unlimited, we're not limited. We have no control. You know, and licentiousness, which is, you know, just having sex with many partners, men and women. You know, wantonness was generally for women, because a woman, men in the Bible had multiple women they had sex with. That was natural part of humanity. With men, it was not natural for a woman to have multiple sex partners. So this is why the wantonness generally was reserved for women. In regard to a woman had one sex partner, that was her husband. Jacob had four wives. Them four wives didn't have four other husbands. They had Jacob, Solomon, and all his wives. They didn't have other husbands. They had Solomon. David had multiple wives. They couldn't have multiple wives. The wives couldn't have multiple husbands. If they did, they were put to death. That was adultery. It was not considered adultery when a man had another wife. Biblically, that's not adultery. David did not get in trouble for sleeping with Uriah's wife. Excuse me. David did not get in trouble for having another wife. He got in trouble. He was an adulterer for sleeping with Uriah's wife, another man's wife. He did not get in trouble when he had his own wives who were unmarried at the time. He was their only husband. He got in trouble. He was an adulterer for sleeping with another man's wife. Solomon was an idolater because he served the gods of his wife, but he was not called an adulterer, though he had many wives and concubines. We understand this from a culture, from a biblical perspective, not from the Gentiles' way of thinking, that they tell you you can't have another wife, but then you can have as many relationships with men and women as you want. As a matter of fact, they tell you that a man can marry another man now and a woman do likewise. But yet what was biblical and what God had permitted, they tell you you cannot do. They exalt themselves as God, joy to things of God, and putting themselves to be the God and tell people what they can and can't do and absolve their conscience in making evil good and then calling good evil. That's what they do. And many go for that. So in this lawlessness, it is a corruption that we have to be very aware of because, see, Peter let us know, and I'm closing now. Peter let us know in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, as I'm closing. Because, see, these lawless ones, they make these promises, and the people embrace these promises. I'm talking about the politicians. I'm talking about the religious leaders. So Peter forewarned us. He said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, he says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome of, the same is he brought in bondage. While they promise liberty, that is the staple of America. The Queen of Heaven and her fullness is America. And these politicians, they tell the people you are free. They give the people independence. They give the people certain inalienable rights and freedoms that are used against God and not in the spirit of God, not in agreement with God, but it is given to the people to work against God. So when God said that it a man should be with a woman, then you have a right through the Queen of Heaven to be that, no, a man be with another man. When God said, thou shalt not kill, the Queen of Heaven say, no, you can kill. Be a soldier, be a policeman, and we'll cover you, we'll protect you, and go about. So if you got hatred in your heart, if you got racism in your heart, and you want to be a murderer and you want to kill, don that badge. Go in that uniform. If you love violence, if you love bloodshed, join the military. Saying you're doing a duty for your service, a duty of service for your country, that you're protecting the nation, that you're protecting the people. Do it under that pretense. But see, God judges the heart. He knew you was a racist. He knew that you love shedding innocent blood. He knew that you love violence and murdering. So your badge and your uniform won't protect you when you stand before God and then even the politicians, and I'm saying from the founding fathers of this nation, when they have to stand before the Lord, when they have to stand before God, when they have to be judged, they're going to be held to account. There is no escape. This is why it's imperative. Let me get this in. for repentance. We far into the night now. You look at the wickedness and the evil, it is dark days now. I don't care how many neon lights shine at night for the parties and the clubs and different things. I don't care how much sunshine we get in the glory and the beauty of God. It is still extremely dark now. These are some evil days. These are some evil days, and it behooves us to consider the light, Yeshua the Messiah, and come and walk properly and repent. It behooves us. So in Peter, with respect to, he letting us know that these men are servants of corruption. You know, when you go into the flesh, you look at the spirit of the, what's corruption? You know, corruption, I only got a short time. Galatians chapter 1. Let's go to Galatians. Chapter 5, excuse me. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Because Peter let us know. And all the men of God in the scriptures are saying the same thing. The apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the pastors, they all on one accord. So servants of corruption. Now, listen to the liberty that Yeshua gave us in Galatians 5:1. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith the Messiah has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, we have to understand freedom from the perspective of heaven. We are free from sin. The spirit of the world frees us to sin. God freed us from sin. And Yeshua, the Messiah, freed us from sin. The goddess of heaven freed us to sin. We want, that's bondage. Men say it's bondage when we obey the laws of Yah, when we obey the order and the strict the strictness that Yah has put for the salvation of our soul. It's strict, but it's for the salvation of our soul. It's to preserve and protect us. We can't do anything we want to do with this flesh. You, when you're in the Lord, you don't want to exploit your body. You don't want to do pornography. You don't want to be an open and flaming or even one in secret homosexual. You don't want to do that to your body, your flesh, because you understand the honor that Yah has given to you. You don't want to kill. You don't want to steal. You don't want to destroy. That's the flesh. But we've been free from that mindset. So therefore, we come into subjection of Yah, and it is the freedom that now we can excel. Now we can be righteous. So it contrasts. You know, when you get into the works of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh, and they are revealed, they manifest it as these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is sexual immorality, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, which is racism, variances. The variances is contentions, emulations, jealousy, and then wrath, and then strife, and seditions, and heresies, and envying, and murder, and drunkenness, and reveling, which is partying, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is your kingdom here that you inherit in America, in this world, but you will not be able to make it into the kingdom to come. Saints, it behooves us to consider and to repent. For my live streamers, until next time, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace unto salvation above all else. It behooves us. The time is at hand. And Yah make it very clear. I'm gonna end on this. In Galatians 6, 7, and 8, he said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, he shall reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit everlasting life, or life everlasting. It coincides with those men that Peter said are servants of corruption. That means that they are the flesh. They have the lust of the flesh. They have the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. They are in bondage to sin and to the nature of the flesh. They are not spiritual. And the people that are following them and supporting them are not spiritual, but they are carnal and they are fleshly. And it is not good for us in this day and time to be such, for our salvation draw near for the saints. But this, the wicked and the ungodly, their damnation, their destruction, their judgment draw near as well. Until next time, beloved, may the Lord our God continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace unto salvation above all else. Take care, loved ones. And let me say this. Let me say this in closing. As we see a lot of division, I spoke on this earlier, so I'm going to just say this right quick. You know, Mark says it best. In Mark chapter 3, verse 24, he says, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, it cannot stand." Saints, it is imminent that America be made to dwell in the dust, to be brought down. It is clear and evident with the division, with the strife, with the separation, with the bitter feud and all that is going on, as I spoke earlier, it is clear sign that America is doomed. Once again, until next time, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace, saints, unto salvation above all else. Take care, loved ones.